1、2、3。
If you would like to listen to this episode ad-free, check out our Patreon account. Link is in the description, show notes, and there's also exclusive content there.
This episode is brought to you by Rusutsu Lodges. It is open all year round. It is located only a 5-minute walk away from the main Rusutsu Ski Resort gondola. There are Japanese, Western, and apartment-style rooms with breakfast packages available. There's Japanese Sento, which is a public bath, 2 convenience stores less than a minute walk away, a ski room and tune-up tables, plenty of free parking space, and summer barbecue packages are available. Check out the website for more information and availability, rusutsulodges.com.
Hello, guys. Nice to see you again after our Thursday piss-up.
It's a very good Thursday because it was right before national holiday.
That's Friday. Right. We went to the Barefoot Bar and we drank lots and did one-arm push-ups. Well, one of us did. Guess who?
Yeah, you were quite impressive, Buck. I think you did about 4, didn't you?
Could have done more.
Yeah.
But you didn't see my 5 that I did?
My fingertips were getting tired from doing it on the fingertips.
My fingertip was tired. I found an interesting article here. Does this ring any bells? A sea of chanting, Nelly naked men, tussle, push, and shove.
Burke, Ben's getting excited. I don't know.
Starting to sweat a little bit.
Towards the shrine. Washoi, washoi, they yell. Let's go, let's go.
Love me a little washoi.
Washoi. You've all seen that before. Guys carrying a little portable shrine around on their shoulders. This is a scene that has barely changed in the 1,250 years, the Hadaka Matsuri.
Hadaka.
Hadaka. What does that mean?
That means buck naked.
That means naked, or the naked festival has been taking place at the Konomiya Shrine in central Japan. And it's exciting news because this year, women are allowed to take part.
Ooh,
wow. Yeah. Definitely worth a visit then, right?
But they're not naked, Ben.
Oh, okay. Not going.
It's not naked men, Ben.
So finding room in traditionally male-dominated spaces is difficult anywhere but in Japan, which last year ranked 125 out of 146 on the World Economic Forum's Gender Gap Index is... it's particularly hard.
It's not too bad.
If you're a man. So women, in the background, women have always worked very hard to support men in the festival, but this is the first time that women are, they've always been welcome apparently, but this is the first time they've been allowed into this festival, the Naked Festival.
Officially.
Yeah, the festival sees men attempt, oh, and women now, to drive away evil spirits before praying happiness at the shrine. A lot of people were supportive. Not everyone in the community was super happy about it, though. What are women doing in a men's festival? This is a men's festival. It's serious, said a 56-year-old grandmother.
Uh-oh,
Kusobaba, right?
Kusobaba. But what the women are... Not. They are not naked. They are wearing happy coats. H-A-P-P-I.
Happy coats.
Yeah.
Like an apron?
I don't know. Long purple robes and white shorts, like bicycle shorts. And the men are wearing loincloths while carrying their own bamboo offerings. So apparently all the men jump over each other. It's like a big cesspit of... flesh, clambering over one another to touch the shinotoko, or the male deity. A man chosen by the shrine, touching him, as the tradition goes, is meant to drive evil spirits away. There you go. So the women are doing that as well.
So that just happened?
Yep.
It was still in February?
Yep. It's at the Konomiya Shinto Shrine. And like the men, the women, they're sprayed with cold water.
Cold water in February, man. Sounds awesome.
Yeah. Ben, you'd like to be a chosen deity, wouldn't you?
Men I already
struggling
am.
to clambering up just to touch you.
For good luck.
Well, I got some news.
Yep.
This was actually from one of our Patreon members. Thanks, Tim. He posted in our comments section recently. One dead, two injured in knife attack in Hokkaido Sapporo convenience store.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Actually, North 31.
Wow.
Yeah, which is all...
Old stomping grounds.
Yes, very close to...
Magic Door.
We were like a couple of stations away. I think it was the next station, wasn't it, from North 24?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a 43-year-old unemployed man, went into a Seiko Mart at North 31 and stabbed the staff. So he stabbed three employees.
Jesus.
A man in his 60s, a woman in her 50s, and a man in his 40s. The guy in his 40s died, and
wow.
the other three were taken to hospital.
Huh.
Mm. Did it say anything about a motive?
No motive was given. Yeah,
mental health issues.
Yeah,
imagine
disgruntled. Also, sometimes
43-year-old unemployed man. I mean, it's tough times in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, you know, they're getting rid of the strong chuhais. Remember? So yeah, probably not too happy about that. I'm sure.
Could be.
Yeah,
no, it's
going down.
It's kind of shocking news. Doesn't often happen very much, does it?
Especially in Sapporo.
No.
Well, we had the beheading last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that last year?
I mean, there was that.
Yeah, there was that. There was that. But just be careful out there.
Mm.
Especially in the convenience. Did it say what time?
It was pretty early, I think. I think it was like 6:40 in the morning. Yeah. So no customers around at that time.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
I know. Safe. What would have you done in that situation?
Try to
take him out?
I don't know. You don't know.
You don't know until it happens.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I like to think that I'd just grab shit off the shelf and chuck it in his face.
Yeah. I was thinking more like charging him, but yeah, now your one makes sense. Actually, throw stuff at him from afar.
Well, if I'm with...
potato chip bags.
Yeah. If I'm with you, if I was with you, I'd just start doing one-arm push-ups. Check it out.
Just push man in front of me. Yeah. Run.
Yeah, I'd use you as buffer shields. While he's stabbing you guys, I'd take him down. What are we talking about today, Benjamin?
We are talking about a topic that was suggested by one of our Patreon members.
Yeah. Right.
So thanks, Mark.
Yep.
Very interesting. About food.
Man, I had an experience last night which fits exactly into this topic.
Yes. Food. So you eat, is that right?
Yeah, you're eating something.
Man, you have no idea what I ate last night.
Yeah, it's kind of relates like food and cooking, things we've kind of grown to like whilst we've been in this country, specific Japanese food, maybe some unique ones.
Okay.
What were you saying, Matt? About
last night I went to a restaurant. It was a Sushi Zen. Have you guys heard of that before?
Yes, I have.
That's the one right in Susskino, right?
There's one in Susskino, one in Maruyama, and one in Ginza. They're probably the high end, one of the bee's knees of Japan. Mm. Sushi restaurants. It's 18,000 to 30,000 yen for a course. The shop first opened in 1971, and each sushi is individually prepped in front of the customer. So we had a course meal of abalone, salmon, king salmon. Have you guys had king salmon before?
How does that differ from...
I don't know. It just tasted softer and juicier.
Maybe fattier.
Fattier. And the guy said, this is a really rare sushi to eat because we don't usually have it. Nobody else serves it.
Wow.
So he goes, you guys are really lucky. I dropped mine on the floor and said,
5 second rule.
No, it was good. Tuna, crab, sea urchin, sake and bamboo stem things.
So it's a proper sushi restaurant.
It was pretty amazing, man.
Not a conveyor belt one.
No onion rings.
Hey, conveyor belt's still sushi.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's still good, not
considered like, you know, like a proper one as well as a chef in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, you see them making it. I mean, they do that at conveyor belt sushi too, right? But I guess...
And he grinds the wasabi in front of you. Yeah, shreds it. He grates it, and the ginger. And the ginger cuts that. So his name was Sakurada-san. And he's been a chef for 40 years. His knife was 100,000 yen because I asked.
Wow.
$1,000 knife, and that was on the cheap end. They go up to $10,000.
Was he speaking in like very kind of old school manly Japanese? Like when he
spoke
you stuff?
A bit of English. Before we get into the food, do you know much about sushi knives? Speaking of stabbings,
Very sharp.
They're super, super sharp.
I don't know much about them.
I think you have to sharpen them, or they have to sharpen them every session when they cut their sushi. Yeah, maybe every day.
It's called a sesh, Ben. Every sesh, they got to sharpen it. They're called sashimi bocho, the knives, and there's three kinds. Well, actually, there's quite a few kinds depending on the fish. The main one is a yanagi barbocho, which literally translates to willow blade knife. Yanagiba, or yanagi, is a long and thin knife used for cutting sushi, sashimi. And what, they're pretty long. They're about, what, a foot and a half?
Looks about a foot and a half.
Put my pants back on. That's about a foot and a half. They're very thin. They're very thin, aren't they?
Aren't all knives thin?
But this is what, about yay thin?
That's about 6 inches there?
That's about an inch. The long blade allows the user to cut a block of flesh in a single stroke. Okay. This prevents zigzagging cutting, which creates serration. So you want a nice thin cut. And he's actually not cutting it. He's actually I'll get to it.
He's not sawing, right?
He's not sawing. The blade is very thin behind the edge, which allows the cut to be made using the weight of the knife. So great, using a force would tear or bruise the flesh, Ben.
Wow. So like in one kind of swoop.
Yeah.
You can cut it.
Yep. The important principle is to prepare the sashimi. Oh, this is what I'm talking about. Is not cutting down, but pulling with its long blade in a single motion. So I was watching him do it, man. He's just on that angle.
Just moving the knife.
Yeah. The blade's very thin. It's got non-stick properties, and the steel properties. It's the same crafting using the same techniques as making a Japanese sword. So the blade is constructed from soft iron and laminated to high carbon steel.
So did you steal it? Can we see the knife?
I got him right here. used it on him. There's a takohiki.
Takohiki. It's from a taco? You get a This
is the name of a blade. This is the name of a blade.
Kiss mark from an octopus suction cover. Takohiki.
The translation is an octopus puller. Which is Ben's old job. The yanagiba, or the willow blade, or the fuguhiki, the pufferfish puller. So, yeah, that's the different types of blades. Kind of interesting. He took out a suitcase pretty much and showed us all these blades that he had. Yeah, super cool.
All for cutting fish seafood.
Yep.
Wow.
There's also an oroshi hochi. That's a knife which is almost 2 meters long.
What's that used for?
Tuna, stuff like that.
Oroshi. Oh, right, like the whole fish
in one slice, I guess. There's also a hancho hocho.
No hotori hanzo.
Sperm sacks.
We were talking about sperm sacks.
Yeah. If you're not a Patreon member, you don't know. Ben
The actual word for sperm sack is not tarako. Well, tarako is one of the words, but it's tachi.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I couldn't remember. Yeah.
Tachi.
Yeah. I couldn't find a kanji for that.
Tachi.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like you're touching something. But yeah,
that's right.
Tachi ten.
Yep.
Which is a tempura. So yes, cod sperm tempura is one of my specialties these days I'm getting into.
There you go. Yeah. Anyway, that's all about the sushi. If you do go to a sushi restaurant with a chef, you'll see him using very thin, long particular knives to cut the sashimi. So yeah, pretty good. If you do have the money, go to Sushi Zen. It's the best sushi I've ever had.
Never been?
No. Yeah. Where is it? In Sapporo?
Yeah, there's one in Susukino, and there's one in Maruyama Koen, and one in Ginza. They opened in 1971.
So you're getting more into sushi since you've been in Japan, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. I didn't eat it much in Australia, but it's one of the foods that Mark sort of asked about that we've come to know and love.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's very different from what we have back at home, right? And we don't get those. We get the rolls. Which I really like still, you know, like the California rolls.
So I think sushi I always kind of liked wasn't bad. Yeah, I quite like that and miso soup back in Australia. But sashimi I did not like in Australia. And since coming to Hokkaido or Japan, having sashimi, grew on me. And I think it's one of the best foods you can have here, to be honest.
The sashimi, just the raw fish.
Yep. With a bit of wasabi and then some soy sauce. Whew. Better than any sperm sack Ben could offer me.
I'm getting hungry. He kind of asked some, specific questions? He was like, what foods have you grown fond of? What has replaced your original diet from when you before you came to Japan? And any foods that you're unwilling to try. Matt, you were just saying you had already kind of been into miso soup.
Yeah.
That's actually one I put down that I've grown more fond of. I'm kind of actually thinking of doing a miso soup project. Don't want to reveal too much yet.
What's that? How many bowls of miso you can eat in like a day?
I mean...
Is that the project?
It's a big project.
I can't reveal too much about it yet. But
what is miso soup? Why don't you explain? It's quite easy to make.
Well, it's made from miso paste.
Miso is not easy to make, is it?
Yeah.
Miso soup is, but not miso.
I said the soup's easy to make.
Oh, yeah.
There was a girl at my old company who made miso. It was an agricultural company. So, yeah, miso comes from soybeans, right? Similar to edamame.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to soy sauce. Similar to natto.
Mm.
There's a few things that come from soybeans in Japan.
Right.
Yeah, right. Get ready for the project, yeah. And but that's kind of been one of the things I've grown more fond of. Nabe dishes since coming to Japan.
Yep.
So what is nabe? A lot of like, well, the nabe itself is kind of like a big bowl.
Hot pot,
as they call it in Chinese culture.
Did you have much of this in America, like nabes and stuff?
Well, my mom is Japanese, so there was some Japanese food in the house every now and then, but we would only have, like, sukiyaki on, like, special occasions, like Christmas and stuff. I did not have nabe dishes like nabe itself or shabu shabu and stuff until I came to Japan. But yeah. I guess you did?
No, like, I was similar. Like, in England, we don't really have nabe dishes. Even in kind of Chinese culture, we don't really have hot pot.
What is nabe?
Well, we were just saying, it's the dish itself is a nabe, but the nabe dishes are when you boil stuff, either like a complete meal in the nabe. You'll have things like some kind of beef. First you'll have the dashi, you'll have the soup.
So let's set this up. It's a big pot.
It's
a large pot, about yay big.
Old school ones are ceramic.
Yep. And you can pretty much cook anything in them, right? Lots of vegetables, any
it's
kind
quite
of
healthy.
Meat. Very healthy.
Yeah. Boiling, crab.
So you put water in there, you start boiling that, then you start chucking stuff in there that you want to eat.
Vegetables.
A lot of vegetables. Yeah, thin strips of pork.
And it's called
nabe.
Yeah, there's all different kinds, right?
There's a
kimchi nabe, which is also very good. Mm-hmm.
Like
there's
kimchi nabe.
Like goya, sesame.
Goya.
That's not sesame, right? What's sesame?
Goma.
Yeah.
Some ones. Chicken-based ones.
Yeah, there's the chanko nabe, which is what the sumos eat. and that has a lot of
chunky custard,
and that has like meatballs in it with fish and haksai. What's haksai? Like I guess, Japanese cabbage.
I think isn't it Chinese cabbage?
Chinese cabbage is bok choy.
So if you come to Japan, you might get invited to a hot pot party. And I did, and I had no idea what it was. And the guy's like, pot. And I'm like, what, is everybody smoking weed or something? Like, what's hot pot? And yeah, I didn't know until I got there. And I'm like, oh, okay. It's like a broth.
It's quite easy to make. I mean, we have it at least like once a week during the winter because it is easy to throw together.
And everybody sits around and just dig in. They just grab whatever bits they want, put it in a little bowl, maybe crack a raw egg in your plate.
If you're having like Burkle-san sukiyaki, then you can dip your beef into that. Yeah.
That's right, Ben.
So nabe dishes, that's another one I've grown fond of. Rice. We had rice every day when I was growing up, actually, because my mom was Japanese. But
not I.
Have you started to eat more rice since you came?
I don't eat a lot of rice even now.
Really?
Too many carbs.
Oh. But what about pasta and stuff?
No, not so
potatoes.
Much. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Bread?
No.
That's why you look so slim.
Yeah, carb-free, man. The secret is out.
No, I eat a lot of bread. No, I do have rice when I go out to a restaurant or something. Yeah,
so you don't
but
really like...
I'm not a rice. Was it a
fan
believer?
No, I'm not. It's a
food from God. Is it?
Yeah, it's not a mythical. No, what's the word I'm looking for? Holy, don't touch any.
Don't stick your chopsticks in them and leave them there, kind of thing.
Don't dip your or don't bump your food off.
Don't
of it.
Bump my food off it. What's that? Is that where you?
It's called bumping when you take like a piece of chicken and put it on the rice and then scoop the rice up with the chicken.
I always do that.
That's
man.
A no-no in Japan. Yeah.
Well,
right?
Apparently it's like half and half. Some people do it, and some people consider it sacrilegious to do it.
Do you know what I do, man? I pour the sauce off my plate into my bowl of rice. How about that?
Lick it up. So lick it up.
Yeah.
So the rice, well, yeah. I mean,
the rice here is very delicious, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's all sorts of different kinds of rice. There's actually some new dictionary I was looking at, some coming out about all the different types of rice. But actually, I mean, rice isn't even considered like a carb in Japan, right? It's considered its own thing.
That's why they usually serve, like if you buy like a bento from a supermarket, they'll have rice and pasta and potato in there, which is... You know, for Westerners, is a bit too much carbs. But like you said, they don't count rice as one of those carbs.
Oh, I guess not.
Speaking of bentos, I will say that is one big difference with eating habits since coming to Japan. Never had bentos, obviously.
What is a bento, Burke?
Bento is
and it's not the Ben that's sitting next to us.
No.
My toe, that's what it is.
It's Ben's
quite
toe.
Quite delicious. Japanese-style lunchbox, but I mean, they sell them in like convenience stores everywhere.
It's like a packed lunch in a little plastic thing.
Plastic package. Yeah.
Is there an equivalent in our home countries? There's no bentos. Right?
Quarter chicken and chips box. Hat
like in the US,
meal.
They have like TV dinners in the US, which kind of like
TV dinners, right. Yeah, yeah,
microwave dinners,
yeah.
But frozen dinners we have in England,
and I mean, but those like have a very unhealthy. I mean, bentos probably in Japan are not actually that healthy, considering, but definitely a healthy alternative to a TV dinner.
Sure. Yeah. Do you guys eat bentos a lot? I used to when I worked at
when you were single, I guess.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
It's the single man's lunch, isn't it, Ben?
Well, you can get them for like, what, from 300 to 400 yen, and it's pretty decent.
Yen,
right?
They're very variety. Nice. And you get them from convenience stores because there's a whole wall of them, really, isn't there?
I used to go to Lawson on my way to work every week or every day and hit my same bento, which always had rice.
What was it?
Some seaweed, a piece of salmon, a piece of cod, and a shumai.
Mm. What is
Just one shumai. Shumai, I guess it's like a pork dumpling, right? Chinese.
You're a
food.
Little pork dumpling, aren't you, Ben?
Thanks, man. Kawaii.
Man,
bentos.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Are there any kind of weird foods that you think that you've liked since you've came here? You know, Japan is full of strange
foods.
Unique foods, especially for Western folk. I have a list of
weird foods.
I have a list of foods that are kind of unique to each prefecture. So, for example, in Hokkaido.
Let me
Genghis
guess.
Khan.
Right. And
Genghis Khan. Is...
And
you into Genghis Khan, guys?
And Butadon.
Butadon, yeah. Pork bowl.
Right? That's bowl. Awesome, man. I love it.
You know, I just had an amazing butadon on Saturday.
What is butadon, Ben? Burke.
Don. So, well, don dishes are like
rice.
Don is the actual bowl, and it's got a bunch of rice in the bottom. And then whatever you have on top of it, if it's pork, it's butadon. If it's beef, it's gyudon.
That's right.
There's some seafood dons as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, it has a very beautiful and delicious don.
Obihiro.
Obihiro was popular for butadon. But the restaurant at the top of the toge, Nakayama Toge.
Oh, the second floor.
Right. There's like a small restaurant up there. Had a delicious, actually took a picture. I might post a picture.
Yeah.
I'll good put... miso soup to go along with it.
Nice.
I'm doing a miso soup project in case you guys haven't heard it. So get ready for that.
All right. Butadon. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome, man.
Okay.
If you want to go to the birthplace of Butadon, go to a place called Obihiro.
Mm.
I think it's got one of the best, most famous Butadon restaurants in maybe all of Japan.
Yeah, they do like their meats out here too. And usually compared to our home countries, they tend to eat the whole animal and everything in it, all the guts and stuff, which
hate that, man.
I'm not a big fan of
hormone.
Hormone, which is what
guts. Is hormone? Well, horu actually, I mean, it sounds like hormone, but horu actually means like to throw away.
You've taken enough of those.
I have. You can tell by the voice.
Didn't always sound this way.
So they basically like, sometimes they do it with like hormone nabe, right? Or like barbecue.
Yeah, it's white.
It's the intestines,
it's the
right?
innards.
Yeah, it's the innards. You go to a hormone restaurant, it's usually white, chewy, and it's horrible. Do you like it?
I like it. I like it, yeah. I like on a barbecue.
You like weird stuff, don't you, Ben?
I like all of it, man.
Yeah, the scrotum.
Yeah. Well, there's a special one on here called gyutang.
Oh, beef tongue.
Beef tongue.
Don't like it.
You're not a fan of that?
Oh, man.
I don't like it.
Where do you think it's from?
The cow's tongue. The cow's mouth, probably.
Well, where is it popular? Which prefecture?
Cows.
Oh. I'm gonna take a stab in the dark here and say Nagoya.
No,
I don't even think that's a prefecture.
You can have guess,
let me go say, down south.
Oh, I'm gonna say Kagoshima,
Yamaguchi around there.
Miyagi.
Miyagi.
That's what I was gonna say. I love the cow tongue.
Don't you find that meat a bit chewy?
A little bit.
Don't you think of cows when you're eating it?
It's trying to talk to you, but it can't because you're...
Well, the thing about gyutang is it doesn't actually look like a tongue, like when it comes
Thank
out
God.
The dish. It just is like a piece of beef and actually tastes quite similar to a piece of beef, but actually
it tastes
a
like
little
a
bit
cow's
lighter.
Tongue. You guys never made out with...
So, yeah, that's one...
All of us grew up in a zoo, Matthew. Okay.
Yeah, that's a lot of people love it. Gyutang.
I love it.
Yeah, thinly sliced beef or cow tongue.
Yeah, usually barbecued or grilled.
So you'd recommend it?
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, 100%.
No, I'd recommend you try it once.
Definitely easier to try than some of the other things we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, like the what was that one? The hormone. What else is kind of like a lot of stuff people don't like? Do you guys like liver?
No, I didn't like it in Australia, and I've had liver sashimi, raw liver.
Oh, I haven't tried that before.
It's actually, I think, maybe illegal because many people were getting sick from it, maybe a few deaths. But when I had it, it still didn't taste great, but it tasted better than cooked liver, in my opinion.
Mm.
But you were dipping it in soy sauce with onion, little spring onions in there, which might have covered up the horrible taste of liver.
Japanese, they do it better than we do back at home. We don't really do much to it. But here they put some marinade, some sauces in it. So it does make it taste better. But I've always been a fan of liver since I've been in Japan. I didn't like it when I was in England,
There you go.
So I've grown to like that too.
Let me guess, you like raw chicken too, don't you?
Oh, I love it, man.
Yeah, it does. Only person I know is a raw.
It was the first kind of unique Japanese dish I had when I came to Japan.
Yep.
Yeah, my welcome party. Raw chicken. So you guys aren't a fan?
It wasn't bad, but it's not something I'm trying to eat.
Maybe you haven't had a good
piece of raw chicken. Yeah.
Again, you know, it depends on the quality of the chicken, the restaurant you go to,
yeah,
the way they prepare it, how they add spices and things like that.
If it's free range chicken, what it's been fed.
How about, this is one that I don't like, but for some reason other people do. How about oden? Do you guys like oden?
I'm not a big fan of oden.
No, actually, I love it, man.
But I will say this, if you have it from the convenience store, so oden is, what is it, man?
It makes me sick every time I walk into 7-Eleven. And actually, I just heard they're getting rid of it also.
Yeah.
Well, it's not much different from nabe, really. Because like it's usually
nice
a pot.
It stinks.
It's usually a pot. Stinks. And it's a variety of different things.
Yeah, but what are those things?
Right. Well, the one piece is like a daikon, which is a radish.
What are the other jelly-like things that are boiling in there? Egg? You can have an egg.
Some konnyaku in there.
Konnyaku's good.
Yeah. What's konnyaku then?
Konnyaku. Oh, that's kind of like a...
It's gelatinous.
Yeah,
there's a lot of gelatinous.
Gooey.
Yeah.
I don't think that's very good for you.
I had some in Kyoto, which I didn't like. I've had it at a convenience store, because you'll see it boiling at the front.
Yeah,
and there's some old person at the front in front of you going, I'll take that one.
And it's cheap, though, as well.
It is cheap. Yeah. But I did go to a place called Atelier in Sapporo, and that was amazing.
Was that an oden restaurant?
Yeah, that was an oden restaurant. Yes. I was like, wow, this is good.
That's the matter. Yeah, if you go to an oden restaurant, it's really good. And even the 7-Eleven is not that bad.
Yeah, it probably is okay, but it makes me sick when I smell it every time I go in a 7-Eleven. Because 7-Eleven does always have it out in front. Konnyaku is a vegetable species native to southwest China, which has an edible corm. Sorry, my eyes are failing me. That's edible corm. That says corm.
Corm, C-O-R-M. Yeah,
corm.
Right.
Is that a root or something? Anyways, yeah. So I definitely don't like oden. It's quite famous. We talked about it before. I do not like tarako, which is another one.
Tarako, yeah. Fish eggs.
Well, it's fish sperm. Isn't it, Ben?
What? Yeah, that's right.
I did have that here, and I wasn't keen on it.
But there's also the...
It's like eating
a
runny brain.
But there's the tarako pasta or mentaiko.
Gross.
Mentaiko is also some kind of fish egg, which is actually pretty good on spaghetti. Yeah. It's really popular in like fake Italian restaurants in Japan. Yeah. I only kind of got to like that recently in like the last year or so, because my wife eats it a lot, and at first I was like, I'm not gonna eat that, it sounds terrible, it looks terrible, but had it. And then, you know, once you kind of take the image of a fish's egg or fish's eggs from your mind, you can appreciate it.
When you slap it on some beef tongue and take it down.
Yeah, put some tachi on top as well. There we go.
I'll tell you what, something I didn't like when I came to Japan, and it's took me probably the longest time to enjoy, was sea urchin, uni. I wasn't...
Still not too big a fan.
It's very runny and gooey, isn't it?
Yeah, and it takes so many small uni to get...
Millions just to get one mouthful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so what is uni?
Sea urchin.
Oh, okay.
I love it. Yeah, yeah. But
so
it's
a small orange, phlegmy looking thing.
Yeah.
What very salty. Part of it is it of the uni?
It's the guts, isn't it? Or the brain? Yeah. Probably not the guts. I think it's the brain. I'm not really sure. But yeah, it's like the orangey part. And you need a good, five or six unis to get a decent-sized portion.
Yeah, that's why it's probably so expensive. Oh, it's the version of ovaries or testicles.
There we go.
There you go.
See, like a map.
We should look that up. Thanks, Ben.
How about any foods that have replaced your diet choices since getting to Japan?
Any foods replaced my diet choices?
what Japanese foods have replaced previous diet choices. Like I would say, like my whole dinners are always completely different than how, I mean, in the US, I'm assuming it's kind of the same in your guys' countries. It's usually a meat dish, vegetable, and like carb.
Yeah, meat, like meat and two veg.
Yeah. That's like a staple. Standard like Western diet. But yeah, our dinners are always like six different dishes plus rice or something, or five different dishes.
Would you say you eat healthier here?
Much healthier. Probably going to live another 30 years longer than I would have if I was in the US.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Definitely don't eat sandwiches. Used to eat a lot of sandwiches.
Yes, the me sandwich. Too.
But I mean, I cook a lot of Western food.
Right.
Like I cook. That's what I'm comfortable with. That's what I know. I don't cook hardly any Japanese food.
So would you say your diet hasn't really changed that much?
Not a lot, no. Yeah. No. When I go out, that's when I'll...
Mm.
But even then, good hamburger doesn't go astray.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten like a steak in a long time. Like I don't really eat that anymore since I've come to Japan because it's so expensive to find a good piece. And also, you know, like the type we like the lean kind is mm-hmm. really hard to get in yeah. Japan because it's all like the fatty Japanese beef that they like here, and that's like super expensive.
Dang hungry
marbled steaks. But it's fine hard those thick cuts, I guess, before, I mean, Costco came here, and before then it was kind of hard to find big,
like a fillet or yeah. or like a T-bone steak, right? It's not often that Japanese people eat those.
Man, I haven't had lunch yet. Serious.
So yeah, I've replaced steaks with more pork, I would say.
A lot of pork yeah. dishes over here, yeah. isn't it?
I would also say, like, because they grow up kind of learning about food a lot better than, say, U.S. kids grow up learning about food in school. Like, my daughter, like, the other day, we were eating something. I was like, oh, man, this tastes like it has green pepper in it or something. She's like, I haven't tasted any green pepper yet. Like, she knows exactly, like, what's in the food and the ingredients and stuff. Because I just grow up in class, like, yeah, all the lunches, kids, like, get up in front of class, they study the menu, learn what foods they're eating and stuff. We definitely all did right. not do that.
But we'll say this, I think the diet of Japanese people is changing. A lot more meats and...
More junk food.
A lot more junk food.
Yeah, you can kind of tell...
people are getting taller.
Right, yeah, my students are getting bigger.
Or we're shrinking, one of the two.
I'm almost not average anymore.
Really?
Average height.
Sit up straight, Ben, anyway.
Go yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah. I'm trying to find my next country to move to that I can be average height again. So, where do the pygmies live in? It's kind of more like my height okay. range there.
Yeah. So do you cook a lot of Japanese food? Did you eat a lot of Japanese food? Back in England, I guess.
No, I didn't eat any Japanese mm-hmm. food at all. Yep. And I guess since I've come to Japan, now I can cook more Japanese food. I can cook about four or five Japanese dishes quite well now.
What's your best Japanese dish?
Nabe. Ooh. Yeah, nabe's pretty good.
I make a good nabe.
I make a good nikujaga, which is like meat.
I was going to talk about that. Mick Jagger? What are you talking about? He's from the Rolling great. Stones in 80. So for those listening, Mick Jagger, it's not actually the singer that Ben's eating.
It's not? Wait, what?
Just the lips. It's Niku and Jagger, and that's short for, that's been around for a long time. Few hundred years. Niku means meat, and jaga comes from jugaimo, which means potato.
Yeah, so it's usually pork or beef.
So it's meat and veg, really. Meat
yeah,
and potatoes.
Yeah, it's basically a stew.
Yeah it's a stew.
With carrots and onions, and dashi.
So there was called Mick Jagger long before. Well, it's Niku Jagger, not Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Right, so. I've been overpaying, man. I thought we were getting a little good of Mick Jagger.
I'm good at making karage, fried chicken.
Yeah, that's good.
I got a special recipe that I learned from one of my ex-girlfriends back in the day.
Okay.
So my family's always impressed with that when I make fried chicken.
Do you mention the source of your knowledge?
No, just a friend.
Who I slept with and was female and we spent a lot of time together.
And I also make a very good tonjiru.
What is tonjiru?
Which is like a pork with soup and potatoes and carrots and onions, kind of like nikujaga, but a soup version.
Mm.
So would you say you eat healthier than you did?
100%. 100%. Yeah, yeah. In England, I ate a lot of potatoes. I guess they're healthy, but a lot of bread and sandwiches,
yeah,
which I used to love.
But I mean, most of the expats here aren't overweight. When I go back to Australia, I'm quite slim for an Australian, maybe.
Yeah, you're pretty slim out here too.
Thanks, Ben.
No comment.
Things I've had no idea that existed and came here was two of my favorite foods in Hokkaido would be soup curry.
Ooh.
And I always tell tourists who I meet, that's a must try, soup curry.
Just had delicious soup curry last month.
Did I was you? Actually going to eat that tonight. Yeah, I was thinking about that before I met you guys.
So I can make a bit of that at home, not as good as the restaurants, but it was, it was made in Hokkaido. It's a, what is it, fried vegetables, fried chicken, things like that, in a spicy soup broth.
Yeah, so it's not just like a very soupy curry. It's actual dish.
Yeah.
Different, yeah, lots of vegetables.
It's kind of got a red hue to it, brown. Tint to it.
Yeah, it depends where you go, doesn't it? They all have their own specials,
yeah.
Soups.
It's very oily, but it's bloody amazing. It's absolutely amazing, and you get a rice with it. I mean, when was curry introduced to Japan, while we're on the topic? Mm-hmm. So, what are you doing? What are you doing? Oh. Burke's going to his computer.
Oh, is this a
Can't quiz? Think for yourself.
Is this quiz? Okay. Curry?
I know the Brits brought it over. They brought roux curry. So, yeah, it's actually traditionally a British dish.
I don't think so, Ben.
Oh.
But it's not Japanese.
I've been believing Ben telling
curry
me.
Curry was introduced to Japan during the Meiji era, 1868 to 1912. At the time, the Indian subcontinent was under British colonial rule. So, would you say it's a British dish, Ben?
Is that what you meant by the Brits? Is that what you meant by the Brits?
Hey, Indian curry's a British dish, isn't it?
but isn't it? I mean, curry in Japan is definitely different from like Indian curry or Thai curry.
Yeah, it is.
So is it
the roux curry?
Is that that's more similar to British curry?
Well, no. Actually, the roux curry that they have in Japan was brought over by the Brits, but they don't have that curry in England anymore.
All right.
So it's the Indian curry from the source.
Yeah, you're steaming. Fluffy white rice.
It's
with,
kind of sweet, right?
Sweet,
a bit
yeah.
Sweet and spicy.
Yeah, yeah. And if you have a chance, have the cuts curry, which I absolutely love, which is
pork cutlet.
Yeah, or chicken cutlet.
With breadcrumbs.
Breadcrumbs.
Deep fried.
Deep fried.
I have it every Friday.
I have it every Friday.
Anyways. We're kind of up to that time, but is there anything else you guys want to add?
Man,
we could. Yeah.
So,
any special?
You said you had the foods from all the prefectures on there. Give us a really interesting one that we have never heard of.
That you've never had before. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of kind of like noodle dishes on this list, like, you know, soba and udon, but special kinds
soba
from
and
different
udon's
areas,
good, isn't it? Yeah.
Let's just see what you guys might
The wiener coffee pizza. Is that on that list?
The onion volcano.
All right. This one might be a bit controversial. Basashi.
Raw horse. I have eaten that.
I have not. You have?
Right? Yeah, I had it. I think the first 6 months, I think I got to Japan.
I've had it.
All right. Did you like it?
I liked it.
Is there anything you don't like? Natto. Natto. We haven't talked about natto.
Oh, I love it.
Love natto.
Yeah. That's but something. Where is Basashi popular? Which prefecture do you think?
Well, some place with very few horses or lots of horses. Say Hidaka.
Ooh. Well, that would be Hokkaido.
Yeah.
So, no, because that was Genghis Khan.
Hmm.
So,
somewhere.
Don't patronize me.
Okay. Begins with a K.
Kagoshima.
Nope.
Kumamoto.
Yes. There you go. Oh, yeah.
Man. I'm on it, man. I'm on it. Didn't even look at my screen.
Yeah. Oh, is that what we're doing?
Yeah. That's I mean, there's a lot on this list. There's obviously 47 different kinds of food.
There's a lot of raw red meats, isn't there? It's not like sashimi's obviously fish, but sashimi means what? Does that mean fish? No, it means raw whatever. So horse sashimi would be raw horse, I guess.
So maybe a raw meat.
Yeah.
Is there sashimi?
Yeah. So you have tuna sashimi.
Yeah. Taco sashimi.
Yeah. So sashimi doesn't mean fish, does it?
Raw. Maybe.
Yeah. Sashimi means body that has been pierced.
Oh. Correct.
So the food that's been sliced, for example. Yeah. Just like you were saying.
Controversial, yeah. Huh? Eating horse.
Yeah. Some people don't like it. They don't like the idea of it as well. One of my friends, she used to own a horse in England, so she was very against it.
Was she angry at you when you ate it?
A little bit. And yeah.
Because it was still alive.
We were at the same party together, and she like refused to eat it.
Fair enough. Yeah, each their own, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, when in Rome, right?
Is there any food you don't like in Japan, Ben? Is there any food you don't like in general, ever?
So far, you've just said you like everything. Yeah.
The only thing that I struggle with is
human flesh. Human brain.
Umeboshi.
That's it.
Pickled plum.
Really?
Yeah. The sourness.
Too bitter. Huh?
Yeah.
Too sour.
So you don't like shiso either, then, I guess.
That one I don't. But I like it.
That little leaf. Yeah. I don't like that.
I like
that
it
either,
in a drink. In shochu. Tantakatan is a shiso shochu. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I just ordered like a 12 pack of huge shiso furikake packages. So.
I don't mind a little bit of it, if it's too much.
So shiso is like a small green leaf, and it's very it's got a very distinct taste.
Yeah,
so I think it overpowers everything you eat it with. So we actually had it last night, and I took mine away.
So you don't like it either?
No.
You should have brought it today. I would have eaten it.
Really?
Love me some shiso.
Really?
All right, there you go.
It's very good with salmon. Salmon sashimi shiso.
All right. Well, we're up to about that time. We could talk about food for ages. I think there's such a big list of unique foods around Japan.
Yep.
Maybe even do another episode. Maybe
I think we're going to have to, aren't we?
Yeah, but if you want to change your diet to the healthy side, definitely move to Japan. That's the moral of the story.
Or look up Cooking with Dog.
Yes,
on YouTube, and you'll pick up you'll probably see all these things we've been talking about.
That's where I got my tonjiru recipe from, and my nikujaga recipe, Cooking with Dog.
All right.
Yeah.
Recommend it. Easy to do the recipes, and they kind of simplified on that website.
Okay.
And also they try to make it as healthy as possible. So
if you can find those ingredients at your overseas store,
that might be tough. Yeah. But thanks for joining us, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Catch you next time.
Bye.